the Ebola crisis continues to dominate the news cycle as the death toll rises internationally and new cases are identified in the U.S. Joining us now is New York Times columnist and science writer Carl Zimmer, who was giving a talk in Philadelphia this week on the topic of viruses. Carl, thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure.
I think on the whole, journalists have been careful not to sensationalize, not to catastrophize with Ebola, but it does feel on some level that it seems to be closing in on us. Do you get that sense from readers, from what you're hearing, what people are talking about?
I think that people are very anxious about Ebola. And you look at surveys, the large majority of Americans are scared that they themselves are going to be at risk of Ebola, which is just not the case. But I think it's just the result of an outbreak happening in an online age. Basically, you can see it on TV and people can trade information on Twitter or on Facebook. And so these things can just keep going and going and going. And it can take on a life of its own.
But then you do read reports where people who are ostensibly trained to deal with something like this, they are now getting sick. It is scary.
We're definitely seeing some weaknesses in our health system. There's no question about that. And we've been hearing from the nurses in the United States complaining about how in this incident in Texas, there really wasn't much of a protocol in place to deal with an Ebola patient. I mean, Ebola was found in 1976, and we have been talking about the potential risk of it for years and years and years. So how could we not have a standard protocol in place? That's really kind of embarrassing.
What are scientists learning about how these viruses come up? We don't hear about Ebola for a long time, then it comes back. What are we learning about how these things happen and come about?
Ebola has a kind of mysterious way of moving around. So we're more familiar with, say, the flu, where it just goes from one person to the next to the next. On the other hand, you have Ebola, which just sort of pops up from time to time and kills a lot of people and then seems to just vanish. But it couldn't just completely vanish, because then how could it come back? So basically, the answer seems to be that it is lurking in animals. And it's not clear which animals are the most important reservoir. Could be bats, certain species of bats. But it's hard to figure out, because even in the species where we know Ebola can live, if you pick out a bat and try to look for viruses inside of it, you may not find any Ebola virus. So it's not yet clear how it's hiding in animals, but clearly it's animals where it's lurking when it's not attacking people.
And how are scientists going about tracking this? I'm thinking that some of the new mapping tools and the ways we can crunch big data now could be really helpful in better tracing this.
Well, we do have a lot of exciting new technology. There's no question about that. We can actually take an animal and take a blood sample and pull out all the DNA in that blood sample, and we can actually find just a handful of copies of viral DNA in there, and say, you know, this animal carries this particular virus. That's pretty amazing, and that's something that previous generations of scientists couldn't do. Scientists can come up with sort of ecological maps that tell you where are the places that have the different kinds of animals that might harbor Ebola. So where would be the places we need to keep an eye on for this kind of reservoir causing outbreaks? The problem is that you actually need people to take that technology and use it.
But do you think they might do that kind of work now? Or is this just on the top of our heads because this is happening as we speak? Will the kind of the urgency fade away?
I hope the urgency doesn't fade away. We tend to focus on, you know, the crisis of the moment and then to forget about it when it's out of view. So, you know, we were all very concerned about bird flu, for example, a few years back, and worried about a global pandemic. Thankfully, we didn't see that happen. But that doesn't mean that the risk has just gone away, because we know that can happen. We know that sometimes bird flus cross over into humans And we've seen what happens in the past where millions of people die. So we can't take our eye off that ball either. I would hope that, you know, this would really be a wake-up call for long-term investment in understanding how animals and humans trade viruses and to be monitoring this process. You know, the fact that we really have no clue of the true reservoir species of Ebola is kind of ridiculous.
So with Ebola, do you have faith in science then that this thing can be beaten?
The Ebola tends to burn itself out. And the question is, how big of a fire is it going to be? A lot of people are going to die along the way. The question of how many people die is really just, it's not really even a science question at this point. It's a question of logistics, of hospital beds and masks and gowns and you know, sort of public health 101. That's all it takes. And, you know, it doesn't take magic to reduce the total number of deaths. And, you know, we came very late to this outbreak, way too late. We should have known that if Ebola shows up in cities that have bad medical care, it was going to be a disaster. And here we are. And now we're going to have to put in a lot more work to slow this thing down. But we should, because the stakes are just too high.
Carl Zimmer, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.